Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TryTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the Treasure Island Sportsbook, it's In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
I want to thank you very much for making my day in the sun so memorable.
Right back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Raider T is on the line. How you doing, man?
Good. Happy. How are you doing? Happy Friday.
Likewise. What you got, man?
Hey, the John Gruden thing. And first and foremost, I want to say, like, he deserves to be fired based on what he said himself. He buried himself. So
right.
And I know you had some people in the background supporting him, saying they, like, defend him or want him back, whatever. And I don't think he should ever be our coach again. But he served his punishment, you know. But first and foremost, I want to address that, you know, issue, the lawsuit. What you're talking about, I think that's an extremely intriguing situation that you're talking about. Number one, I took a look at some of the articles about his lawsuit, and he's basically alleging what I called and told you and Lincoln Kennedy about a month ago, that, number one, the timing of this whole thing, they knew about this thing months beforehand, and they mysteriously decided to leak it right in the middle of the season. And they, out of 650,000 emails, they only released the ones about John Gruden. So I don't think it was a coincidence. I think this thing was planned in how it was targeting him and the timing of it. Because if they wanted to bury this and not have a black eye for the NFL, they clearly could have done it in the offseason. They could have gone to Gruden. They could have gone to Mark Davis, like you already mentioned earlier in the show. They could have dealt with this quietly and not had it be such a public thing. So I believe deep down that there's emotion involved in this thing, and somebody wanted to get him, exact a revenge on him. So I think it's all going to come out in the lawsuit, and I can't wait to see it, because the NFL deserves to get a black eye based on this whole scenario. Point number two, real quickly, I don't know if you brought this up before or not, but the thing that I thought was extremely unusual about this whole Redskins investigation before it even got to John Gruden, the only time I could think of when they brought in somebody to look into a situation that was improper, inappropriate, whatever,
right,
and dig into and get the bottom of it, they specifically said they did not want a written report. They didn't want documentary evidence of this that could be used later on. I've never heard of a situation where they don't hire a firm to investigate and that firm doesn't produce a written report of what they found. So they knew they were trying to keep dirty laundry out of this, you know. And with 650,000 emails, I'm pretty sure there's a lot more dirty laundry than just John Gruden. So the whole thing is fishy, and I hope the NFL gets what they deserve at the end of this whole thing when this lawsuit plays out, because it's just BS, as your previous caller pointed out. It was a hit job, and it's just it's dirty, and I don't believe, you know, maybe it's a personal thing between Gruden and somebody else, but I find it hard to believe that another organization would have been treated like this other than the Raiders. Sorry.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Raider T. You bring up some good points, and you know, they're all valid, because between the timing of this and I go back to we have to preface everything that we say by saying, once you saw the words and the descriptions and the way John Gruden referred to certain people and certain groups of people, you know, and game over for him, you know. And there's no defending it. But it is curious, and it is also, you know, potentially dangerous down the road. If somebody gets, you know, upset, dislikes, whatever the case might be, and just decides, I'm going to just completely destroy you, that somebody actually has the power to be able to do that in that kind of a way is dangerous. And I don't know who orchestrated this. We could all speculate. We know who is, have been identified on this lawsuit. Literally, the names Roger Goodell and the NFL. It certainly seems like that's who John Gruden and his legal team thinks are behind this. And, you know, does John Gruden deserve to know and look his assassinator, I guess is the word, eye to eye? That's what it looks like, what he's trying to, get to the bottom of. And I think he has a right to that. You know, I'm not defending what he said, but we've all said things in anger. We've all said things when we're venting to a friend. We all have. We all have done things, said things, you know, that we regret. And when we say them, and you're less than honest if you claim that you don't say certain things in private to somebody that is a confidant of yours, a close friend of yours. You're lying if you said you've never expressed yourself in a way that if it was put out in public, you'd be ashamed of. And I think we're all guilty to some extent of that in our lives. And certainly John Gruden is. But, that was a handful of angry moments where he was seems like venting, you know, to a good friend. It doesn't condone what he said.
Yeah, and I don't think it was just he was just upset and venting. I think that he was trying to be funny. I think that he was being crass. Yeah, I don't. It's not.
Whatever.
Let's not cut him off too easy.
I'm not. I already
him
said
off a little easy.
I already said
of course,
he deserves
yeah,
to get fired.
Just like but you know, a long, hard day at work, and you just
no. He was pissed off. He told me that he was pissed off. He literally told me I was pissed off at that point. I felt like somebody was attacking football. I felt like this guy was lying. No, he was completely upset and angry. And sometimes when we're angry, people say stupid things that they're going to regret. All of us, you too, I'm sure, have said things
this
that...
This isn't a glass houses point, no, but, you
yeah,
know...
Yeah, exactly. I certainly am not going to sit here in any kind of a glass house because it would shatter in a heartbeat.
But even...
I don't think he was trying to be funny. I think he was. I think when I read those emails, I saw anger, not humor.
Yeah, but it's just like it just felt like it was coming off as just like we know he shouldn't have said it, but let's take into context, and the context doesn't matter.
I'm not saying that the context does matter, but we've all done it, is what I'm saying. I guarantee you, there's something that you've said that oh my gosh, I'm glad nobody ever heard me say that or saw that. I can pretty much guarantee that if you're a human being, you've been susceptible to that. And I'm not condoning what he said because once it becomes public, game over. You got to go. You got to go. And I do not, I'm not specifically saying that I said what he said at all, ever. But it was, you know, when we're, I'm saying this, when you think that you're talking just to your friend, Damon, I'm sure you say things that if it got out there, it probably wouldn't make you look too good. And I know that I've been in that case before myself. The problem, you know, for John Gruden, that conversation that he was having with one other person in his life, because I don't even, have we seen, were there any other emails that were sent to anybody else? It seems like it was just that one person.
We've also an email that with Mr. Allen and Jeff Pash for the NFL's almost.
Right. But I'm talking about just John Gruden. It just seemed like it was isolated to the one person, Bruce Allen.
Yes, this came about because of Bruce Allen's emails, yes.
Right. So, again, I'm not condoning it. And I feel like, also, he would have, whoever did this, if the intent was to get him fired, could have easily still achieved that goal by doing it in a more private way, you know. Instead, they decided to do it in a very public way, and I think they got a little sloppy in doing that. I think they left all sorts of, or created all sorts of legal vulnerability for themselves by doing that. And I think the lawyers that are handling this see that and are seizing on that. And they're going to try to get to the bottom of that. And I don't know if they're going to ever publicly make somebody pay for this. But we'll see. And again, you don't condone what he said, but that's irrelevant at this point. We all saw it. His reputation is never coming back, and rightfully so. But there is a question that you have to ask yourself, how the heck did that get out? And who put that out? And I know that this isn't legal, this is all civil, but...
No, but that's the point of discovery, like, and hopefully if it doesn't get dismissed, that's the point of discovery, so that this will come out.
Of, in terms of who actually did this?
Yes, well, at least the email's getting out. In discovery, I think that that's John Gruden's best play, as Daniel Luss was saying. If this comes out in discovery, maybe if it is sealed, those emails will come out in
the 650,000 emails?
Yes.
What do you think is in there? Do you think there's anything that's salacious from somebody else?
Of course. Someone had to say something, even if it's not along the lines of racial or homophobic. Someone maybe called someone, you're telling me, like, no one at least even said, hey, this guy's a son of a bee, and they don't want that. Like, you know, in other words,
yes. The emails that you've written about me that are out there. You would never call me that, would you?
No, and I don't send emails.
What?
No, all my emails are work-related, and they stay work-related. That seems like that was his biggest problem there, sending these emails to the buddy's work email.
What if we got your texts? What if we got a hold of your texts?
No, yeah, nobody wants to see those.
Yeah, I've got some boring texts myself. It gets to a point of now it's really fascinating to me. Because now the curiosity is who did this? Somebody had to decide, Damon. That's what's so, like, this is like a mini series at this point. You know, the deed's been done, and now, you know, he was rightfully paid the price professionally. But there's another end to this. Somebody was behind this, and it could have been handled in such a better way. But the way it was handled leaves somebody open to a lawsuit and then being exposed as the person who decided we're going to come after John Gruden. And then the other question becomes, why? Was it out of moral obligation? Like, I couldn't let that pass. I saw what he said, and I felt like this needed to be put out there, and he needed to pay a price. It could be as simple as that. Somebody just felt like, I can't let that, I cannot unsee what I just read. And there's no way that this guy should be coaching in the NFL. And the only reason he's coaching in the NFL right now is nobody has seen what I've just seen. And somebody needs to see this. The world needs to know. And John Gruden needs to go. Maybe it was as simple as that. Or maybe it was a personality thing. Maybe there was bad feelings between that person and John Gruden. That person, maybe even in the Raiders. Maybe they wanted to take the Raiders down. It's all out there. Like, everything is on the table at this point. In terms of motivation for why this part of it came out. And like Damon said, there has to be something else in all those other emails. Now, if I'm John Gruden, am I on a crusade to take everybody down with me? I don't think that, you know, he necessarily rolls that way. I think he wants to find out the one person.
No, I think he's clearly trying to take some. He's clearly trying to take at least Roger Goodell down because he named him as a plaintiff. Well, he's named in the suit.
No, and I understand that. But what I'm saying is, do you think it matters to him? Like if there's three other coaches or general managers that said something in those emails that shouldn't have been said, and if they come out in public, it'll probably cause their demise too. Do you think he wants to take those people down with him? I don't think necessarily.
Yeah,
that.
You can say that. Oh, I don't want, but that's what's going to happen when you come with a case like this. He would accept his settlement and then just fall back. But he clearly wants to do some damage.
He wants to, but I agree with you. But
you can't have it both ways. You can't say I want to sue the NFL. You can't say I want to sue the NFL and say, but I don't want anybody to lose a job after this.
No. I'm saying whatever happens, happens. I don't think he's going to shed too many tears about it. My question is, what is the exact motivation? Is it to take other people down too? Or is
yes.
It, No, I don't think so.
I think this is a situation of, I don't know if you've seen the movie, like New Jack City. This is bigger than Nino Brown.
I don't think it's, I don't think
he's on the stand. He's on the stand. He's being crucified. And he's like, nah, this is bigger than me.
I disagree. I don't think that he gives one rat's you-know-what on anyone else that said anything along the same lines or as egregious as he did in those emails, you know, brethren in the NFL. I think he wants to find out who killed him, basically. I think that's his only motivation at this point besides.
So if it's just, oh, well, let's say if they find a fall guy, hey, it was Daniel
X.
Yeah, Daniel X or whatever. Ah, man, Daniel in accounting just happened to get his hands on these emails. Or it could be someone from the law firm who was just like, oh, this is bad. It needs to get out.
It could be.
So like Daniel said earlier today with us, it's either three options. Someone in the NFL office, someone from the Washington football team, or someone from the law office who was investigating the Washington football team.
It could have also been, I don't know if the NFL Players Association got wind of what was going on. But if they did, it could be, if they did.
But then again, someone would have had to give those emails to someone in the Players Association.
Right. Right, exactly. Like, hey, just want to let you know this was said about you. You need to see this type of a thing.
So you're saying that someone would have had to give those emails to D'Amore Smith?
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know if that to be the case.
But he didn't. Yeah, because he's on the record saying it. I'm calling the man a liar. He didn't know until the Wall Street Journal called him up and said, hey, you got a comment.
And I think that that's the case, too. Yeah, I believe that. So it's somebody in the NFL. It's somebody from the law firm. Or it's somebody from, the Washington football team. And that's where the timing of it does kind of come into play, all right? The NFL says that they had this information for 3 months, right? And they were going through it. Maybe somebody that was aware of what happened and forwarded that and understood that the NFL had this information, maybe they were just beside themselves that I can't believe they haven't taken care of John Gruden yet. Like, I saw what he said. How can they still be sitting on this information? And maybe, to your point, DeMond, maybe it was somebody from the law firm. Maybe it was somebody from the Washington football team and not the NFL at all. But the way this lawsuit is constructed, it sure seems like they think that it came from the NFL and John Gruden. And Roger Goodell. Or maybe they're just going as high as they can and wherever it takes them in terms of who they feel did it or who did do it, that'll all get sorted out. By going high, and even if it's below those entities, they're eventually going to find out.
Yeah, because it's one of those things like if it's, hey, it was Mark in accounting type deal, if we got random guy.
Yeah.
It was random guy. Roger Goodell isn't losing his job, so I feel like... Because he's doing exactly what the owners, like, he's making the owners money. He's taking all of, the cover for the owners. So I don't think that Roger, like, they aren't going to find a way to pinpoint, oh, yeah, Roger Goodell, like, ordered this, as some of the callers say. I think it's Raider Mike who says he ordered the hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But
Gruden, do you think that he did?
No.
You don't think that you're ruling out Commissioner Goodell as a guilty party?
Yeah, as he hit up the Wall Street Journal and said, hey, let's release the story?
Look,
no.
Forget about who actually made that call, who ordered somebody to make that call. It's either somebody ordered that person or told somebody, I need you to call, and do it that way, which that's plausible too, or somebody just got the gumption on their own to do it. Like there's a boss that the boss doesn't usually pull the trigger. He orders somebody to do it, right?
Yeah, so, but Roger Goodell works for the owners.
So what does that mean?
You're saying like, oh, the boss. Well, he has bosses. His bosses are the NFL owners.
I know, but I get it. I get it. But somebody, if you're saying that it came from the NFL, how does Bill in accounting see this? Bill in accounting is not going to have access to this. It has to, somebody that was part of the investigation, somebody that saw the information.
No, and I bring up, let's say Bill in accounting. Yeah, I bring up Bill in accounting because I think that I think that John Gruden wants more than even if they were to say, hey, we can settle this out of court right now. It was Bill in accounting. He's your man. He's the guy you should be angry at. I don't think that's all that he wants. Is my initial point from when we first started this diatribe. I think that he wants scorched earth.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Because if it's Bill in accounting, Bill in accounting didn't do it on his own. Somebody told him to do it. I do believe. And here's my other thing. Okay, do you think that the commissioner was shocked when he saw that these stories hit? You know, the Wall Street Journal and New York Times. Do you think it blindsided him?
No. Do I think this was his first time hearing about this? No.
I'm not saying that.
Well, you said shocked. Do I think like when these
shocked that it got there, that the New York Times has this information, not what was said. Obviously, he saw that. I'm saying, was he blindsided by the fact that it got leaked, Roger Goodell?
That's something that I don't care to speculate for over the radio because I don't know.
Yeah, neither do I. But that's what I'm saying. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see who called the or just who was responsible, and that's what they're going to try to find out. Back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Eddie is in L.A. How you doing, Eddie?
Very interesting conversation, gentlemen. Very, very intriguing. I don't think that nothing doesn't get out of the NFL without Roger Goodell not knowing about it. That's just my take on it. I think John Gruden wants to go after the fact that the way it was handled. So why wouldn't you want to go back to the guy at the top, the guy that could have brought this out over the summer, the guy that could have made this, could have handled it in a different way. Why wouldn't you? I mean, if I'm looking at it from a third-party perspective, that's how I would see it. If you go back and look at the Tom Brady issues from the past, the deflate gates and all those, the way everything went down for that, the fact that nobody was actually recording any of these, it was all written hand paper, there was, and so on and so forth. This whole, there's just so much there that we don't know, that they don't want us to know, then hopefully this now, it'll get out and be interesting to see what happens, what really went down. I don't think it's a case of who leaked it. I just think if you're Roger Goodell and you know that there's that potential to cause so much havoc towards not only a particular club, in this case the Raiders, but the league itself, why wouldn't you have handled it better, especially when you first found out? Just to make sure this doesn't get out in this manner and you're ahead of it, right? You're dictating the narrative as opposed to now everyone is. That's my take on that.
I appreciate the call, Eddie. Thank you very much. And I agree. I think if I was handling something like this, I go right to the source and say, this is what we, just like in any other job, in any other vocation, you know, if you did something, that was brought to light, something bad that was brought to light, in typical protocol, like human resources gets involved, you sit down and you talk about, this is what we found, this is what we came across, this is a bad look for you, it's a bad look for us, we don't condone it, and we're going to have to part ways. And a lot of times, you know, in situations like that, there is a, if you walk away, it'll never see the light in terms of why, because that's a private issue. You were talking privately to somebody. Not everybody has a right to that information, but we can't condone you working here anymore. And as a result, you have to go. And it could have been handled in that way as well. Probably should have been handled in that way. And the reason I say that is because now it just, this whole Pandora's box has been opened. Because it was handled in the way that it was, in a very public, in a way that looked designed, it looked like they came after him, and it looked like they singled him out. They were going to make an example of him. They were going to make this very public. There was going to be no way that he could ever really get a job anywhere of any significance in football. It just felt like it was singled out, like he was singled out. Somebody literally singled him out. And it didn't have to be like that. what he said was sufficient enough for him to leave the scene. It was it was enough to warrant him either resigning or him being fired. And I think that even had it been handled kind of privately, it would have led to that outcome. But somebody decided that they wanted to take it a different way. And I think that as a result of that, whoever that person is has left themselves really, really vulnerable right now. And I don't know who it is, and I'm not going to speculate who it is. It could be, like DeMond said, somebody from the law firm that was investigated, somebody in the Washington football team. It could be, there's a few places where it could be. Well, it'd be interesting to find out who it was, and really, honestly, why. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. We're live at the Treasure Island Hotel, the Golden Circle Sportsbook. We got all kinds of sports going on. Looks like Cincinnati's winning 31-21, so they're going to hang on and move to, I think, 10-0. Good for them. We'll talk to you on the other side.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
By the way, just when Wendy and Fabian are here, loyal listeners, and always hanging with us over at the Rockstar Bar and Grill, which we will be there tomorrow at 5 o'clock like normal. The day before Raider home games here in Las Vegas, but just when Wendy and Fabian came by during commercial break, and they were like, we got to start talking about the Chiefs. And so I was like, yeah, we're going to get into the keys to the game, and we've been talking about the keys to the game this week. And Fabian said, this is his keys to the game: can't settle for field goals. So there you go. That will be, according to Fabian, and he's got a point, the Raiders cannot settle for field goals, and there's no doubt about that. I do think the Raiders are going to get over 30 points against the Kansas City Chiefs. I think there's too many holes in the Chiefs' defense. I think the Raiders will bounce back offensively after the sloppy day that they had against the New York Giants. And when I say sloppy, it's sloppy with a clarification, because it was only sloppy in the red zone. Other than that, the Raiders were dominant offensively. They were moving the ball at will. They just couldn't get it straight in the red zone. And I think that they get that cleaned up to some extent. Have they been great in the red zone this year? No. But have they been as bad as they were against the New York Giants? No, not at all. They were 1 of 6 in the red zone against the Giants, and there were turnovers. There was a costly penalty. Give me 1 second. And so I don't expect that to be the case against the Kansas City Chiefs. I also think the Giants' defense is better than the Kansas City Chiefs' defense. So I think that there will be opportunities for the Raiders to do some things offensively. Really excited to see DeSean Jackson in a Raiders uniform. I was asked earlier, doing my Raiders mailbag that I do with the Las Vegas Review-Journal, what kind of packages do you expect to see with DeSean Jackson? Not sure, you know, what he's going to be able to digest or what he was able to digest in time for Sunday's game. But he's a savvy enough veteran where they're going to be able to come up with some things, some featured, packages and plays that accentuate what he does. But he's also going to be somebody that, much like Henry Ruggs was, even when he wasn't getting the ball, he was impacting what was going on offensively. It changes the way defenses defend the Raiders. When you have a known speed aspect like Henry Ruggs and now DeSean Jackson, you have to honor that. Otherwise, they can make you pay in a big way. And DeSean Jackson still has sufficient enough wheels to make teams pay. And you look at what he did. There was, I think, a 72-yard touchdown pass between him and Matthew Stafford. So he still has it in him to be able to do that. And I think the difference between here and Los Angeles where he was with the Rams and it wasn't happening enough to his liking. And he said, look, I want to go someplace where we're going to have a better opportunity, a bigger role. He just wasn't getting enough touches in Los Angeles, enough playing time more than anything in Los Angeles. He's going to get that here with the Raiders, kind of for obvious reasons. You know, they lost Henry Ruggs. They got to replace that. By the way, I was on radio in Los Angeles earlier today talking about the Rams and Odell Beckham Jr., and I think the majority of people in Los Angeles, Rams fans, were happy with that move, but there were a few people who were thinking, oh, it's overkill. Oh, did you really need him? You've got Cooper Kupp. You've got Robert Woods. You've got Van Jefferson, a good young wide receiver. And if you look at it like that, yeah, maybe it is a little bit of overkill to now bring Odell Beckham Jr. But I contend my argument was, number one, where your roster is right now, 2 weeks into November, that's not necessarily going to be how your roster looks in December or January. And the Rams are a perfect example. The year they went to the Super Bowl in 2018, Cooper Kupp got hurt along the way. He wasn't able to play in the playoffs or the Super Bowl. So knowing how physical a sport pro football is, wouldn't you want to load up as much as possible if something were to happen to Robert Woods, if something were to happen to Cooper Kupp? Now you have on the back of your roster Van Jefferson and Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah, that's pretty good stuff right there. Furthermore, if you're the Rams, think about who they kept Odell Beckham Jr. out of the hands of. The other finalist was the Green Bay Packers, who the Raiders or the Rams played last year in the playoffs and could very well play again this year in the playoffs. They're both 7-2. They're both headed to the playoffs. There's a chance that they may play again against each other in the playoffs. If you're the Rams, would you rather play against Odell Beckham or have Odell Beckham on your side? Isn't that an obvious decision? Like, I don't get how anyone can say, oh, why would you go out and sign Odell Beckham Jr.? You're set at wide receiver. You don't need him. Yeah, you may not really need him right now, but A, he enhances what you have, and B, the way football goes, it's a play-to-play situation in terms of injuries. It could all change as early as this week, and all of a sudden Odell Beckham becomes an absolute need rather than just somebody that you're going to add to something that's already in place. So, yeah, I have learned covering the NFL, nothing stays intact. It's all your roster is always something that you're working on and tinkering with and trying to deepen all the way through. And unfortunately, because of how physical football is, you're going to get injuries. You don't want anyone to get hurt, but the reality is guys get hurt. And so even with the Raiders now, you know, obviously Henry Ruggs didn't get hurt, but it's a loss. He's no longer on the team. He's no longer available to the Raiders. So bringing in DeSean Jackson was kind of a no-brainer in that regard. And I think he's going to help. And I think he's going to help as early as Sunday night against the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think that he helps get the Raiders offense back in track, back on track. And I think they're going to be more efficient in the red zone when they get into that area of the field, much more so than they were against the New York Giants. Conversely, defensively, it'll be interesting. You know, we talked to Gus Bradley yesterday about how his defensive scheme is kind of the opposite of what teams have been doing to slow the Kansas City Chiefs down this year. A lot of teams have been using that too high safety look that basically takes away the long ball and defends that level of the field. And when you look at the Raiders, that's really not what they do. You know, they have a single high safety. Jonathan Abram comes down in the box. They rush with four pass rushers. So they don't have that too high safety look that a lot of teams have been approaching and defending the Chiefs with. And so Adam Hill, my colleague over at the Las Vegas Review-Journal yesterday, asked Gus Bradley about that. Hey, you, I'm sure on film, are watching what other teams are doing, but what other teams have been doing isn't what you normally do. How do you balance that? And we were laughing today because if you read the quote and listen to the quote of Gus Bradley, it's kind of a long answer that really didn't commit one way or another to what he was thinking about doing. Not that you expected him to do that, but he really didn't say anything in that quote. It's kind of funny sometimes coaches will do that. You know, they're trying to help you out. They know that you have a job to do as reporters, as somebody that's cutting up the sound and everything like that to make the show sound a lot better. But they're when they don't want to, they have a uncanny ability to say a lot but not say anything at all. But I am fascinated, especially after the non-committal of what the Raiders might do defensively. I am fascinated to see how Gus Bradley does approach the Chiefs, because I think you're probably going to see a little bit of what teams have been doing with that two high safety. There's ways that, you know, I know that Jonathan Abram isn't a guy that you necessarily want in that regard, playing that far back. He struggles in pass coverage. We know that. Part of the move of him in that box safety position is to minimize his struggles as a pass defender and maximize and accentuate what he does physically closer to the line of scrimmage in run support and defending smaller patches of the field in terms of pass coverage. It's working. He's playing way better than he has in his entire career. Credit Gus Bradley for understanding that. Credit Jonathan Abram for, you know, obviously accepting that role. I think this is the role he prefers, but then also executing it at a fairly high level. But that doesn't mean that there aren't other players, you know, that you can change it up with, where Jonathan is still doing what he does, but you also have somebody aligned with a Trayvon Morig back on the back end of the defense. So we'll see how the Raiders do this. But I think the key defensively, you know, talking to Lincoln Kennedy yesterday about this, it's what the Raiders hang their hat on, period, defensively, and that's getting after the quarterback. Consistently, ferociously, play in and play out, making life difficult for the quarterback, and in this case, Patrick Mahomes. And here's what's interesting about all this. The Raiders have been fairly competitive with the Kansas City Chiefs. It might not have shown up in wins over the last few years, although last year they were able to beat them in Kansas City, and they should have beat them at Allegiant Stadium in the rematch. Remember, that was the game where Derek Carr and the offense score a touchdown to take a lead. I think it was a 4 or 5 point lead with about a minute 43 left in the game. Handed it over to their defense in the fourth quarter, minute 43, and the Raiders couldn't lock it down. It was one of three losses that they had over the second half of the season. That was the first where the offense left the field with the lead late in the game and the defense couldn't do their job. What's interesting about all that is the defenses the last couple of years, specifically last year, they don't look anything like the defense that the Raiders have right now. And it'll be interesting to see how Patrick Mahomes handles that. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila and Bajo, Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. on a Friday.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignore. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignore on Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m.
Our good friend Just Win Wendy is here with us at the Golden Circle Sportsbook here at the Treasure Island Hotel, and she wanted to say that, I don't think she said the key to the game was on Sunday, but a big part of the game is going to be DeSean Jackson. She said she can't wait to see DeSean out on the field. He's a breath of fresh air, according to Just Win Wendy, and that she is predicting that we're going to see some things that we haven't seen before with DeSean out there. So, number one, he's wearing number one, in case you didn't know. I think Raider Nation already knows that. By the way, I got a text from somebody in the legal world who was reading through the lawsuit, the John Gruden lawsuit, and as you read through it, and there, it's clear as day that he's coming directly after the commissioner. It's like the more you read, it's very, very interesting what they're alleging and who they're accusing. It's no, there's no question about it, too. So, as DeMond has said, is this going to eventually lead to the commissioner losing his job? I'm not sitting here saying that, but it'll be interesting what they ultimately get to the bottom of here. If they're correct in some of their assumptions that they're making and accusations and allegations in this lawsuit. Very, very interesting. So, and again, I feel like, and it says this in the lawsuit, essentially, just to kind of, you know, put it in a way that, you know, where it's not verbatim, but in a nutshell, it's saying, rather than just approach Gruden privately with what they found and work it out that way, it just felt like it was that wasn't what the intent was. It was to do more damage, to take him down, basically. And that is kind of intriguing about all of this, like why they decided to take that route, whoever it is. And it sure seems like they think it was the commissioner. So it's just the start of a what's gonna. No, I shouldn't say it's just a start. It started about a month and a half ago, this saga, and it's kind of turned into a miniseries right now, a real-time miniseries. And it's a high-stakes miniseries, and it's names that we all know. It's crazy. It's crazy that it's kind of come to this, and it'll be fascinating to see how it plays out because there's precedent here as well. That's going to be established one way or another. And money, there's a lot of money that's involved. There's reputations that are involved. There could be jobs that are involved. But somebody is very upset right now. And that somebody has a lot of money, a lot of time now on their hands. And they're probably going to dig in fiercely on this. And do I think that they're going to... It's going to come down to some sort of a settlement, like a financial settlement, maybe. But if you read through this and you kind of get a feeling about what the motivation is, part of it is financial. John Gruden lost a lot of money, future earnings through all of this. But I don't think that that's necessarily the biggest, you know, goal of his through this lawsuit. I think he wants to get to the bottom of who decided that they were going to just take him out in a situation where the owner of the football team being investigated did, and his organization did something so egregious that the owner had to relinquish day-to-day operations of his team and had to pay a $10 million fine. We can quibble that that money doesn't really matter much to the owner, Daniel Snyder, who, you know, is rich beyond rich. But nobody gets fined $10 million for nothing. Something happened for that to happen, for that kind of a penalty to be levied, including the part about where he's no longer in control day-to-day operations of his team. And yet, nobody knows what exactly happened for that to happen. But we do know that John Gruden fired off a bunch of disgraceful emails that spoke in very insensitive terms about groups of people and some individuals. One of those individuals was the commissioner. And it literally says here, I'm going to get to it right here. It literally says that after reading that, that's Commissioner Goodell reviewed the emails and wait, hang on one second. Da-da-da-da-da. The emails between Gruden and this is in the lawsuit. The emails between Gruden and Allen contained insulting and derogatory language about Commissioner Goodell, whose actions to harm Gruden in response were taken in his individual capacity and were outside of his scope and authority as commissioner. It's literally accusing here the commissioner of getting so upset about what John Gruden said about him in an email that he took his individual capacity to come after John Gruden in a capacity that was outside the scope of his authority as commissioner. So, again, these are just allegations. They might be completely throwing darts up against a wall blindly and, you know, and alleging things that didn't happen. That's what we're going to get to the bottom of. And it is important to remember that the NFL said that this is meritless and that they're going to fight it vehemently. So this could all be just a bunch of hogwash on the part of an angry John Gruden and some very motivated lawyers to help him, and it might not amount to a hill of beans in the whole scheme of things. But all we can do is report what it says in this lawsuit and what John Gruden and his legal team believe happened and want to get to the bottom of, and as a result, are suing the NFL and the commissioner. So we'll see. More importantly, as it relates to the Raiders, it's a big game coming up on Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs, 5:30 over at Allegiant Stadium. A reminder, I know the Raiders have been really pushing this, and rightfully so. Remember, 1 to 7 p.m. In the parking lot, and there'll be guidance once you get there to Allegiant Stadium. If you haven't been able to verify or download the Clear app and get your vaccination verification put into that app so that you can, you know, show it when you get to the game. If you're having any trouble whatsoever for whatever reason, there's access between 1 and 7 p.m. on Sunday where you can come and get it taken care of. Once you get to the parking lot at Allegiant Stadium, they'll direct you where to go. It'll help expedite the process. I know for a fact, going to covering, you know, games obviously over at Allegiant Stadium as I do, it's a lot of fun for the fans. I could see it. I'm up there working in the press box. Damon can see it. He's up there in the press box with me. It's a lot of fun. It's a great atmosphere. And the best way to enjoy it is to get in there early. And one way you can do that, if you haven't, you know, been able to verify your vaccination yet, because remember, Allegiant Stadium, you have to be vaccinated to come into the stadium, is to get there early and take advantage of all the resources the Raiders have. It's going to do it for us here at the Treasure Island, the Golden Circle Sportsbook. We'll be back at it Monday, actually Tuesday, 4 to 6 p.m. to go over everything that happened on Sunday at Allegiant Stadium. My prediction, the Raiders are going to win 34-23. That's where I'm rolling. That's what I think is going to happen. And I think the Raiders get to 6-3 before welcoming the Cincinnati Bengals, the Houdet Nation. Oh, I shouldn't say that. No nation. The Houdets. To Allegiant Stadium a week from now. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks so much for all the participation. Thank you to our guests. Thank you to Damon Cotton for holding things down over at home base during the huddle. Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.